connecting to the internet.
Internet.
Networking software.
World Wide Web for web.
Computer today.
Computer.
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 NetSurfer Pro.
Welcome to NetSurfer Pro, a whirlwind ride through the World Wide Web. I am your host, Matt, and with me is...
your co-host, Galen.
And I've brought you here for a bit of a behind-the-scenes into the making of NetSurfer Pro, or rather the release of NetSurfer Pro. This is sort of a fun fact that has really perplexed me recently. If you're like a creator on the internet, I highly recommend not looking at analytics too much. But sometimes it's interesting to see like what really catches on and what doesn't. And for some reason, our Scott the Woz episode keeps on popping up over and over again on like the most watched episodes of the week or the month or whatever. And by watched, I mean listened, of course. And I wonder how many people think we actually have him on that episode. Because while I can see the total listens, I can't see the amount of runtime they've listened. So I wonder if, like, whenever we talk about somebody on the internet, there's people who will be like, oh, an interview, when it's not at all an interview. Which is relevant because we do not have an interview today. But we are talking about someone on the internet.
Yes. So, unfortunately, you've probably read the title. There are no worthy kids on this podcast. There are only unworthy kids.
Well, unworthy adults, really.
Yeah. I mean, adults are just kids who are old.
And have too many responsibilities. Have to pay for insurance.
Yeah.
Damn. I miss pizza day. The best day of the week.
Well, I suppose technically any day can be pizza day if you're an adult.
True. And any day can also be NetSurfer Pro Day, because we have been not the best schedule, but we will attempt to get back to that as we finish up September and go into spooky month.
Yes, as we sort of find our stability again, we are hoping to get a stable episode order again. And we are hoping that spooky month we will make every single week. But that is, of course, the future, and we are currently in the present.
I'm living in the present, so the future is my future. Kenny East. Okay, so, yeah, today we're talking about an internet creator, an internet animator, an all-around funny person, but mostly animator, named Worthy Kids. And so we're going to talk about his body of work and sort of his style, or styles, rather. And we'll dive right into that. So let's go to the fact corner.
Yes.
The fact corner.
Ah, nice. Haven't heard that theme in a while.
It was very good. We of course have a live studio band playing all of our themes.
Mm-hmm. It's wild how accurate they can get every time.
Yeah, yeah. If you look at the waveform, sometimes it's like, you know, literally one to one.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so Worthy Kids, Ian Worthington, goes by he, him pronouns. He first released a video on YouTube 7 years ago in June of 2015, which was an animation based on the Eric Andre show, specifically an animated version of a bit from that show. Since then, he has made multiple animations, continuing fan works for a while, making fan works of things like Back to the Future, Tim and Derek, Awesome Show, Great Job, or what's it called, Check It Out with Dr. Steve Brule. I don't remember which show the bits he animated were from. It's Always Sunny in Monster Factory had two of his more famous earlier bits that he had animated. He did like fan music videos for Danny Brown and Brockhampton, and eventually he went on to animate a entire short series called Big Top Burger, as well as lots of other fan animatics and stuff. He's also released a few concept albums. These are sort of like fan OSTs in a way, sort of like albums that are meant to be made up background music. So he's made one based off Shrek called Duloc, one based off The Witness called The Witness EP, and one based off SpongeBob called Bikini Bottom. And he also uses that composition in his animations. He's done all the music for his shorts like Captain Yajima or Big Top Burger, and he's even made a sort of standalone music video in The Wire or Wire Blood. Yeah, it's just called Wire, actually. It's not The Wire, the HBO show.
Wire is a single song concept album of The Wire, don't you know?
Yeah.
Wire is the one where clowns attack.
Yep.
So yeah, clowns attack. That's what The Wire is about, actually. You don't have to watch it anymore.
I like the part where Omar goes honk honk. I don't know anything about The Wire other than there's a character named Omar. So yeah, that's a brief overview of Worthy Kid's sort of animation history. I think I want to start with the sort of animation styles he employs, because that is a big part of his brand and his sort of style, what made him really popular. So
yes,
I would say there's like two or three main styles he uses. The most common one is, it's sort of a chibi style in a way, where characters have huge heads and smaller bodies that are much less like detailed or emphasized. And with the huge heads, he tends to add a lot of like wrinkles and blemishes and other like facial details.
Yeah, he uses the large heads to have extremely expressive faces on a lot of the characters. This is sort of like especially big in the Big Top Burger series, but a lot of his shorts in the, like, I think there's sort of three phases, quote unquote, if you really want to break them down by phases. There's the animatics part, which were sort of like fan animatics of different little bits from favorite shows and stuff. There's the original, like, original animations, which are still a bunch of shorts, but are just sort of like little self-contained shorts, like Witches on Tinder or
Frasier and Niles Become Demon Lords.
Yes. Free Apple is a favorite of mine, starring Justin McElroy. Very good one. Look it up after the episode. But then there is Big Top Burger, which is kind of in the current era. There's also still some shorts from him, but Big Top Burger is what seems to be his current focus. And so throughout all of it, the like highly expressive faces very much are like a part of every era. The like smaller bodies are usually used for comedic effect, like in Palpatine's journey, where like he will explicitly sort of de-emphasize the body for a lot of it to kind of like make the characters look like small little guys, TM, essentially.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Additionally, he does use a lot of the SpongeBob-style close-ups where, like, certain words or sentences will be close up and more detailed, whether it's, like, to the character's head or it's, like, a bust shot. If you look at the thumbnail for How Do You Get Back There, which is a animatic of Good Mythical Morning, you'll see what I mean in that most of the video is that chibi style, but the thumbnail itself shows a bit where it's much more of a typical sort of comic drawing style. It's that really fluid snapping back between different perspectives and like senses of scale and detail that I think makes his animations stick out to some degree. There's a lot of like really quick cuts to faces, especially. You know, the fact that he has really expressive faces helps sell that as well. A lot of small eyes, I've noticed.
Yeah, I like his small eyes. One note as well, because I know he has done an episode over something with Quentin Reviews. I believe it was like SpongeBob parodies. I think it was the SpongeBob parodies episode. No, it was specifically Rankin Bass. Like the Rankin Bass episode he did with Quentin Reviews, because one detail that he likes in Rankin Bass cartoons that he has sort of kept in a lot of his animations is like the little sort of half smile face. Like the face is by default like kind of like a three squiggle, and then a lot of the talking just comes from like moving the lower half of the mouth. You see this a lot. You see this in like Dried Up Old Bones. You see this in Captain Yajima, where like the default face is kind of like a kitty face, I hate to call it. But right.
Well, so it's interesting that you bring those up, because that is specifically his like way of almost replicating the Rankin Bass stop motion style.
Yeah.
Like specifically there is the first one was the Hatbox Ghost. Hatbox Troubles, which was about a ghost on the Haunted Mansion ride. then there was Captain Yajima, which has, or no, then there was Dried Up Old Bones, which is another sort of music video. And then Captain Yajima is the most recent one to use this style, where not only does he do the, like, lower half mouth type thing, the way he animates, like, eye movements is close to Rankin Bass. He has a very fine attention to sort of the materials of all the objects on the screen to make it look like that handcrafted material. Even like things that should be flying have supports in them too.
I believe that Captain Yajima specifically has like the spaceship look like it's on like a string.
Yeah.
To emphasize that kind of style.
This brings me back to how the thorough line between these styles is that they're all done in Blender. And this is something that I think is like really cool, is that he makes 2D animation in Blender not only via compositing, where like you take each layer of the shot and kind of put them in a like diorama view. He has a behind the scenes of his Cats video where he shows how like the foreground characters are in one sort of layer, and then behind that in the Blender scene, there's like the background and the midground and all that. And then if you take it from head on, it looks like just a normal 2D animation that's flat. But, you know, if you look at it from the side, it's actually 3D in sort of a way that's very similar to how traditional 2D animation was done. But not only that, his chibi style has sort of evolved to a cel-shaded 3D sort of technique where he'll create 3D models for the bodies and apply like a lot of effects to them and how they're rendered and outlined in order to make it look 2D to some degree.
Yeah.
And then the faces, I believe, are still 2D animated, but the bodies themselves are all 3D models. And
it's really interesting looking at the development of it too, just because like I think Austin Powers and Xylophone are some of the earliest ones where he uses this style. I don't think he uses it in Palpatine's Journey, aside from like one explicitly joke scene.
Yeah, but that's the same thing with Pepe Silvia, the It's Always Sunny animatic. He has like a bit that's very clearly 3D models, but they look completely different to the ones used for the main characters.
Yeah, but it's interesting sort of looking at the development because Austin Powers 4 uses the style, and it's a good, like, no knocking on it. It looks a little more clear that that is what he is doing than even, like, the first episode of Big Top Burger. Like, the first episode of Big Top Burger, the style seems to have really kind of come into its own by that point. And so, like, you probably already know that is how the style works, but you could probably watch it and not realize that he is using 3D models to heavy air quotes cheat the system.
It's definitely,
I don't say cheat, but like, yeah. I don't mean cheat. I just mean like, you know, that's the stylization he's using.
It probably helps to, you know, speed up certain processes, but I do think he does them also for the like artistic effect, you know. He's not just doing it cynically to save time or anything. It's a technique that he is developing as an artist.
And it also, like, it very much also helps because it makes it really pop when, like, it goes from that style to, like, a completely clearly 2D drawn thing as, like, a punchline. I'm thinking one specific moment in, like, a panel, I believe, Big Top Burger panel, where Caesar is, like, chewing out one of his mooks, and like the guy's like, I can't find the notepad, and Caesar is like goes from like this you know, the normal style to like this really choppily drawn, like three lines his hair, like, what?
Yeah,
it's very funny.
I want to highlight a few of the early videos now that we've kind of gone over the style. Yes. We're not going to cover every single video he's done, because that would take quite a while. But I want to talk about some interesting moments from a few of them. The first of which is Pepe Silvia, which I think was the first video of his that I saw. And I know a ton of friends who also first saw Pepe Silvia as, like, you know, the first thing of Worthy Kids that they saw. There's probably a better way to say that. And what I think about Pepe Silvia that makes it so good, other than just the expressions and all that, is that Worthy Kids takes a lot of liberty with what actually happens in the scene. This is sort of like, I think this really makes or breaks a lot of animatics, is the ability to transform the source material into not just a complete adaptation, but like a new experience separate from the original. In this case, like, there's a bit where, I want to say it's Mac. Yeah, there's a bit where Mac walks in and the door, like, creaks. And then normally the door creaks again in the scene because it's like a door that swings back and forth. But Worthy repurposes it into, like, another Charlie walking through the door and standing to the side. So he turns just this normal sound effect into its own little background gag. In the end of the scene, when Charlie is, like, completely going off the rails, he, you know, makes, like, a nightmare sequence of Charlie falling into the mailbox, or the mail basket, I guess. And so it's a lot of creative liberties are taken, but I think that makes it appealing to somebody who, you know, has seen that episodes of It's Always Sunny before.
It really heightens it, I think, because, like, as someone who hasn't, who's only really seen, like, the screen caps of Pepe Silvia, it's clearly, like, different enough that I could still go and watch the original scene, but, like, it's also, you know, like, it's a creative way of, like, getting the vibe of the scene without showing the literal scene itself.
Yeah. Similarly, Fix the Baby, which was of the Final Pam Monster Factory, which is a topic for another day, that the original video was the McElroy brothers playing Fallout 4, I want to say.
Yes.
And in that game, there's not a lot of, like, interaction between characters or objects or stuff. You don't even look at yourself when you're playing the game most of the time. And so the animatic Worthy Kids made has a lot of, obviously, expressive facial details and animations and whatnot, but also just the character manipulating and holding objects in ways you can't do in Fallout 4, much less any Fallout. And I think that adds a lot of life to the bit that makes it feel like its own short, you know?
Yeah.
And then there's Space, the Steve Brule Check It Out clip that just completely repurposes the original audio into something almost melancholic. It's beautiful.
I want to sort of, moving on from this, highlight the, like, original animations that he's done as well, because, like, the earlier original animations are in that style as well, with some experimentation. But I think some of my favorites are when he is explicitly playing around with the different, like, wild styles you can do. Free Apple is probably the most direct, like, one, where it's explicitly a reference, like, a stylistic homage to King's Quest and other point-and-click adventure games of the era. And, like, he uses that, like, to its fullest extent. All the characters talking is, like, little boxes with, you know, their portraits. It's, like, one-to-one with that, like, 90s era point-and-click. And I also love, like, when Justin McElroy is just, like, listing off a bunch of random items, because that's also just a really good bit of, you know, every goddamn item in your inventory from those eras. And he just, like, rambles off a bunch of random items, and Worthy adds a bunch more that are, like, so perfectly in tune of just, like, half a bologna sandwich, you know, a slingshot made of candy, and then, like, you know, in the background there's, like, a Shrek popsicle, or, like, a little snowman guy.
Mm-hmm. The little snowman guy being a Monster Factory reference.
Yes. There's also, I think, the Palpatine's journey is more in the like style of the previous ones, but the playing around with it is still there, because like there's one specific moment where Palpatine is thrown off the edge, and like it's this 3D model of him that's like stiffly got his arms out, and like he uses that for the comedic effect of him just falling and like clanging against a bunch of stuff like a aluminum can. And so like he's still like using the 2D animation, but like he's developing into, you know, weird multimedia styles for comedic effect.
I want to also, before we get to like Big Top Burger, I want to bring up Boogie, the fan animatic for the song of the same name by Brockhampton. So I'm kind of a snob when it comes to music videos. So for one thing, I like a lot of animated music videos because they tend to have more of a concept than just like the band playing instruments. And I think like this clip kind of sold to me the idea of Worthy Kids making a music video, because what's really cool about it is that he's sort of told a story through the music video, even though it's not even the entire song, where like it starts in like an ambulance and a character is rapping, and then it like cuts to the heart rate monitor with the, you know, the line that goes up and down. I don't know what it's called.
The heart monitor.
The thing that you don't want flat. The up down line. Heart line? The heart line. So, and then like it cuts back to the ambulance and the person in the driver's seat starts rapping, and then like there's a person on top of the ambulance. And then like as it gets to the chorus of the song, the guy in the ambulance in like the stretcher like breaks out. And it's really cool because like, for one thing, Brockhampton is a like hip hop boy band, and so there's a lot of interplay between the rappers that's represented through the music video. But also, like I said, there is this like plot line going on. This world building has been performed just in the manner of like less than a minute via things like the way the scene is staged and who says what, and you know, just the choice of everything, where I can see how the storyline would fit into the song itself. And that's just really, really cool and effective. He clearly knows how to make an interesting little music video like that.
Which he then does with Wire, of course.
Yeah. I want to get to Wire a bit later.
Yes.
For now, I do also just want to mention before Big Top Burger, one thing being Jason and Friends, which is really cool for one thing because it has accurate sign language, which he actually consulted somebody on. But Jason and Friends is kind of the first, maybe not the first instance, but it's sort of a trend or a motif that keeps reappearing, which is that Worthy Kids likes horror and horror characters, but he also likes making them not scary. This will be reoccurring throughout Big Top Burger, but like Jason and Friends is it's Jason from Friday the 13th.
Friday the 13th.
Freddy Krueger from Nightmare on Elm Street. It's what's her name? Sadako from The Ring.
Yes.
And then the Clock Tower guy.
Yeah, the Clippers. Clock Tower Scissor Man.
Yeah,
guy,
the Scissor Man. And it's just it's like they're a family going into a convenience store. And they're very calm about it. They get some antics, but it's not scary in any way. There's never really an indication that the character should be feared, which is great. They just kind of joke around and do family stuff. And I think that's like just a really fun, really sweet thing. I feel like a lot of Worthy Kids' general tone can be described as cozy in a way.
Yes.
A funny cozy, but cozy in the sense that there's not a ton of drama or like, I don't know, it's not erudite. There's not like, not irony maybe, but there's not a lot of cynicism. Most of it is sincerity or like sincere parody.
Yeah. the, like, even the closest it gets to cynicism is, like, the rivalry in Big Top Burger, which we're soon to get into. But, like, even that is, like, the end result is almost entirely goofy, you know?
Yeah.
I guess let's just get into Big Top Burger.
Yes. So Big Top Burger is a short series produced by Worthy Kids, animated by Worthy Kids, scored by Worthy Kids. It has like 1.5 seasons currently. There are 5 episodes to season 1, including a season 1 compilation video, which I guess would be 6. And then there are 3 episodes to season 2.
Yes.
Currently.
I am going to just real quickly list out the voice actors and actresses just because we want to shout them out. Steve is voiced by Ian Worthington himself. Penny is voiced by Lindsay Small-Butera. Billy is voiced by Olivia Craighead. Tim is voiced by Tim Batts. Caesar is voiced by Chris Fleming. Doctor is voiced by Sun Wong Cho. Francis is voiced by Ayo Edebiri. I hope I am pronouncing all of these names correctly. Conrad is voiced by Alex Small-Butera. And Mr. Food Truck, who pops up in the Expo episode, is voiced by Garrett Watts. And I believe there's another voice of the, like, old man in the panel episode. I'm just looking it up now. Tom Willett.
And I believe Guy Montgomery does a voice in the very first episode.
Oh, yes. Yeah. The very first customer they have, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
Which is also funny because Guy Montgomery, I believe, was part of the Paul Blart Mall Cop
Till Death Do Us Blart.
Yeah, Till Death Do Us Blart, which were the kids made an animation of, an animatic of.
Well, specifically, Guy Montgomery is on there, and so is Tim, who plays Tim.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, so it's very very cyclical, very fitting, very yes. So Big Top Burger follows a food truck called Big Top Burger, where all the workers are in clown makeup and in clown wear. It is owned by the mysterious and eccentric operator Steve, and it's really silly. It's sort of a slice of life a lot of the time. Generally, the idea is that Steve gets up to some mischief. He is, like, really weird and wild, and all the other characters react to it in different ways. Penny is always sort of optimistic and tries to go along with things. Billy is very, like, nonchalant and kind of disinterested in it, and Tim is, like, trying to keep things on track. So there's three people reacting to one funny man.
Yes.
But so one thing that you might notice is that Steve has magic powers.
Yeah.
A lot of the humor comes in the fact that the three workers are ordinary people who seemingly just get paid well enough to work there. And Steve is just a weird magic thing. There are a lot of references to It by Stephen King, in fact. So Steve is named after Stephen King. Penny is named after Pennywise, and then Billy and Tim are both, I believe, two kids from It, the book It, or the movie, either one. And so there's sort of, going back to the theme of, like, making horror monsters cozy, there's sort of the joke that Steve is an It or a Pennywise or what have you, that is just, instead of killing kids, he has decided to make a food truck.
There's honestly probably some market for, like, the digital uninteractive media extrapolation or doom for, like, what is Steve, and for that matter, what is Caesar, because, like, I think the second season is kind of getting into questioning this a bit more of, like, the fact that Steve and Caesar are seemingly not, like, Caesar, for clarity, is the owner of Zomburger, who is the direct competitor / rival of Big Top Burger, and their thing is that they are all zombies, but obviously the three who are not the lead are, you know, just in zombie makeup, just like how Penny, Billy, and Tim are all in clown makeup, except that you never see them without the, you never see Caesar or Steve without the clown makeup, so, or without the clown or zombie makeup, respectively. So there's a theory to be had of, okay, probably Caesar and Steve are zombies and clown, but like, what is the extent of their you know, their powers?
Yeah,
essentially
Steve can both teleport and instant transmission a la Dragon Ball Z.
Yeah,
he can create a child-sized clone of himself that can shrink into oblivion.
He seems to be getting smaller.
Hello. But he also is weak to heavy objects, but they're not even that heavy. There's like a bit going on in the second season where Caesar has Steve carry something and Steve cannot carry it at all, even though like all the humans can.
Yeah, yeah, his like backpack is extremely heavy to him for some reason.
Oh yeah, I forgot that also Steve can Naruto run as fast as a truck, and also carries around a giant sword that can cut through said truck.
But he also cannot fight an elk. He cannot successfully fight an elk, seemingly.
Oh, well, that's because he bonded with the elk.
Oh yeah, that's true.
Yeah, this all makes sense if you watch it, which I obviously highly recommend. Season 1 is 11:53, so, you know, just short of 12 minutes. That's less than an episode of most TV shows.
Yeah. That's... Season 2 has a little more meat with just 3 episodes. It's like a little over 12 minutes. I think it's a little over 13 minutes, in fact, which, you know, I could fit a 12-minute total runtime into my schedule, but 13 minutes? Yeesh.
Yeesh. Yeah. So, after season 1, I want to briefly mention Wire again.
Yes.
Wire is so good. So cool. So, Wire goes back to the clowns. In this case, it is a family of clowns rescuing a clown baby from, like, vampires or ghouls of some sort?
Yeah.
It's set to music. This is sort of a standalone music video. It's still very short at 2 minutes, but it's another one where like it does a ton of world building really quickly in a way that just like creates its own self-contained story without really having to tell the story directly of like they hold a vampire hostage and they release him. And when the vampire tries to create a portal back home, they, like, keep the portal from closing and hitch a ride through. It's so cool, just, like, all the like, you understand what's going on fairly quickly.
Yeah, yeah. It's a story told from essentially just a single action scene, a single action set piece. But, like, you get the entire story through it, and it's, like, it's so... Plus, it's also just, like, it's really cool because, like, the clowns are on this airship... And, like ship capitalized.
Yeah.
And, like, the vampires are all, like, from this, you know, like, vampire dimension that's this giant castle and stuff, you know? And, like, it makes me look at that and go, like, oh, I want even more lore of the clowns versus the vampires.
Yeah. You know, airship really fits because it sort of has these, like, dirigible balloons, and clowns blow balloons.
Yeah, I can imagine a joke being made of like a cloud, an airship that has like a dog balloon as its giant balloon.
A dog balloon or a balloon dog? Because those are two different things.
Well, as long as it's I can't think of a good follow up that would be airable on TV.
Damn. Too bad we just got that time slot.
Damn it. Oh yeah, watch out for 6:03 on Sci-Fi. We're going to be doing NetSurfer Live, because what else are they going to air?
Yeah, they literally went through every natural disaster plus animal combination. They're like, all right, what do we do now? We can do more ghosts. That's like, no, we can't do more ghosts. History Channel booked up with all the ghosts. And Travel Channel took their leftovers. We don't have any more ghosts. All right, let's see. What's at the bottom of this barrel we haven't opened?
And then they opened the barrel and it was us two recording.
Yeah, that's why the audio for this episode is a little different.
Yeah, I'm actually still in the barrel. The office is just closed down.
See, you know, One Piece is really popular, and at the very start of the series, Luffy breaks out from a barrel. You know, he starts the series in a barrel. So we figured that it's a little bit of a late start, but if we want to get more popular, we should start doing things in a barrel and then get out of the barrel later.
Yeah, yeah. The barrel part was really Luffy's breakout role, so...
Yeah. Luffy and Diddy Kong, they share a lot in common, really.
Well, the D in Monkey D. Luffy stands for Diddy Kong.
Monkey Diddy Luffy! We solved it! All right.
So, we now know the One Piece is real.
Yeah. So, something kind of interesting is that Big Top Burger got really popular online, of course, and then it got really popular in Japan, and specifically because some, or maybe not really popular, but essentially some Japanese voice actors, some like internet voice actors, made a fan dub of Big Top Burger, dubbing over the voice actors for Big Top Burger in Japanese voices. And this was really cool. I think it's incredible that there are people that make fan dubs for just like Western internet animations. It feels very full circle in a way, as somebody who's watched anime before, you know, yeah. as my accreditations. I don't know how to say that word. I'm very qualified, as you can tell. Worthy Kids got in contact with these people and made Captain Yajima, which is another stop motion piece, or like stop motion style. It's still made in Blender, but this time it is a like sci-fi space opera sort of thing, and it is written in Japanese and voiced in Japanese with English subtitles, using the that like fan cast as the cast for this video.
Yes. Captain Yajima might be my single favorite piece that Worthy Kids has done, just like self-contained. I love Dried Up Old Bones. I love Free Apple. I love a lot of the earlier stuff. I love Death Blurt. I love a lot of the animatics. But like Captain Yajima is so like pitch perfect to like the style, the thing that it is kind of parodying a bit. I guess it's not exactly a parody. It's more just sort of like an homage to the like puppetry style of, you know, like Japanese. There's a specific like Japanese animation style of stop motion, I believe, that it is that it is cribbing on, cribbing affectionate.
It takes a lot of inspiration from like 80s era anime and a lot of like early tokusatsu and like Godzilla type stuff, where they use a lot of practical effects for that type of thing. The score itself is especially very inspired by those, with heavy emphasis on trumpets and other horns to you know, follow up action.
Yeah. I also love how it's kind of another thing where, like, to spoil an 8-minute video, to spoil halfway through an 8-minute video, it's another funny thing where, like, Captain Yajima kind of immediately meets her like nemesis. And like her nemesis, Zoga, is like, yes, it was I was the astronaut the whole time. And, you know, like Professor Genius, I think, is like, oh my God, you were lying about the space alien who kicked you. And she's like, no, that really happened. It was really annoying. And so they just team up to find this random rude alien.
Yeah. This is another reoccurring thing, is that villains have different morals, but they don't have villainous actions that much.
Yeah.
That's what it feels like in Worthy Kids videos. It's like in Free Apple, for example, obviously the shopkeep wants to kill the prince, but like he acts so friendly during the whole exchange and is pretty upfront about everything.
Or, yeah.
You know, Palpatine in Palpatine's Journey is just like cracking jokes the whole time and not scheming whatsoever. There's this feeling that like Worthy Kids seems to really like villain characters and has a lot of fun repurposing them into like less threatening versions, and that includes his own villains he has written.
Yeah.
In this made-up cartoon or this made-up stop-motion series.
Also, to go through the voice actors and actresses one more time for Captain Yajima. Captain Yajima is voiced by Malta, all caps. Professor Genius, the motorcycle alien, and the narrator are all voiced by Hanae Chihaya. Again, I'm hoping I am pronouncing these names correctly. Zoga and the second astronaut are voiced by Santo Kei. And astronaut number one is voiced by Takagi Akihiro. Again, hope I'm pronouncing all these correctly.
Yeah. So yeah, I love Captain Yajima a lot. It's sort of a culmination of a lot of stuff between like the fan dub cast joining him in this like original thing, as well as a further advancement of his stop motion mimicry art style. And it's just a really good self-contained short.
Yeah. I'm really hoping that we get a follow-up Captain Yajima, because it ends on a cliffhanger, as it were.
Yeah.
And yeah, I'm really hoping that he does essentially just like another little short of it at some time after Big Top Burger is season two is completed, I would assume.
Mm-hmm. Big Top Burger season two is sort of the last main thing I want to touch on. So, Big Top Burger season one is very much some pretty like self-contained bits and jokes in each episode. Season two is a bit more cohesive in a way, where it feels almost like one long episode of a TV show rather than a bunch of small episodes of a TV show.
Yeah.
In this case, it is the members of both food trucks going to a food truck convention or a food truck expo, and sort of all the antics that ensue between the two trucks, especially between Steve and Caesar. This is, of course, where the like food truck mascot shows up, and it's very clearly inspired by Cars.
Yeah.
I love, by the way, that so there's a new intro to this. Big Top Burger and season two of Big Top Burger. Season one and two have different intros. And the one for season one just introduces the members of Big Top Burger really quickly. But season two also shows like their home life a little, which I think is super cool.
Yes, I love that it kind of like contextualizes them a bit more. Like it really sort of it humanizes them, which like not that they weren't human before, but like in season one, it's mostly gags, essentially. It's mostly kind of getting you to the vibes of these characters, but Big Top Burger season two seems to be kind of like going for more of an arc. It's still very funny and it's still very like comedy forward, but like it kind of I think it hits on the sort of, you know, oh yeah, these are like real people living real lives, and it adds to like the straight man persona of the other like six, kind of. Mm-hmm. I say kind of because like very much all of the Zomburger ones are honestly kind of their own versions of Funny Man. And like even the three straight men of Big Top Burger are kind of they're pretty funny in their own right.
They're not entirely straight.
Yeah.
If you know what I mean. we make no assumptions. That's the title of our tagline.
We make no assumptions. That's a pretty good tagline. I was really hoping for Rescue All Life, Protect All Games.
No, that's for our gaming channel. Come on.
Oh, right. Of course.
Yeah. Yeah. Big Top Burger season two has a lot more like grounding to it. Instead of just being on the truck, it's at an actual location with a lot of sort of world building details in the background. By world building, I mean things just like having other trucks and tents and RVs. Like it looks like a real location much more than much of the other locations in the show. And of course it has actual like world building in that it is sort of sculpting a view of the food truck industry in this world as a whole, how the two main characters sort of fit into it, or the two owners fit into it rather.
I also really like that I really quite like that. So it is kind of like by the end, probably going to be sort of its own little episode, more or less. I would assume it's going to be its own, like, 20-minute episode. But the fact that it is divided by, you know, four-minute episodes of the season means that each new one kind of has its own individual bits. Like, it has a clear arc, of course, but, like, each new one kind of has its own core goof to it. I think specifically I really love Panel, the most recent one, where the idea is that they're all showing up to, like, the panel at the beginning, and there's this guy who's, like, really kind of boring, talking about, like, oh, the history of burgers, and, Sorry, I have to note the very funny joke at the beginning where he says, I see we have a few familiar faces in the audience, and it's just two clones of him. Mm-hmm. It's just two exact copies of him sitting in the audience. But then, like, yeah, it uses that sort of, like, framing of this is where the characters currently are to, like, explicitly tell a bunch of, you know, little jokes of them being forced to listen to this boring guy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. In a way, you could think of it like sketches in a sketch show, but in this case, the sketches are animated, and this is one of those sketch shows where the sketches all tell sort of a narrative.
Yeah.
Yeah. Very, very fun work. I also do like the sort of expanding of the color palette. The Woods episode of Big Top Burger Season 1 is a bit more, I don't know, varied in terms of location, but, like, Stove, Kid, all of those are very blue in a lot of ways, especially any scene on the highway. And so having this this location that has, like, a lot of grass and dirt and stuff is actually kind of nice.
Yeah, yeah. The by right of having to, like, you know, establish a lot of things, the first episodes are mostly just centered within the food truck itself. And so it's, you know, it's just sort of the same location for a lot of them because it's the establishing bits. But, like, yeah, now that we have a different location, there's a lot more life to the scene in general. And I get the feeling that there's also going to be a good number of, like, gags that it brings up. I'm willing to bet that, like, one of the next episodes is going to be sort of a bunch of, kind of a rapid fire, like, bunch of funny food trucks, I would bet.
I would wet.
You know, I would wet.
Gross.
Welcome to Wet Burgers.
Welcome to Wet Surfer Woe.
Oh, no.
That's, of course, where we try to catch a big wave.
This is a wet ass podcast.
Nice, 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 nice. I don't have much else to say, really. I think the reason why we did this isn't just because we're fans of Worthy Kids, but for me at least, it's that Worthy Kids sort of really captured a lot of people on the internet. I mean, like, you know, he got attention from the McElroys enough to have them voice act in his stuff, or at least to have Justin voice act. And so I think, like, figuring out why it captivated the internet is one thing, which you can't always do. The internet's a very fickle place, but I think his style is very indicative of, like, the current trend of internet humor, especially, or at least a sort of brand of wholesome humor.
Yeah, I honestly would like to sort of end, quote unquote, this. We're getting to the end, but just a couple of little recommendations. Louis Zhang, I think, is a very good recommendation if you like Worthy Kids' style a lot, because he's kind of a similar style of eclectic animations. He's also very big into music. A lot of his a lot of his channel is music, but if you were just really interested in the animations, he does have a lot of very fun animations that are kind of in a similar vibe of, like, slightly weird but very goofy and very fun, and nothing that's, like, going to creep you out, essentially.
Yeah, yeah. He's no Jack Stauber.
Yes. Now, if you want Jack Stauber,
you should check out Jack Stauber.
Yeah. Another person I would say is interesting to look into is Savannah XYZ. She is kind of up and coming a bit, but her style is honestly, like, it's an interesting vibe of, like, using 3D software, but making it look sort of claymation-y. Mostly she has a lot of shorts currently, but it does seem to be working on some longer things. She recently reached 200,000 subs and did a face reveal, which was fun. But she has similar vibes of like kind of shorter goofs, but like a really interesting 3D style.
And I want to recommend Joel Haver, who does not do 3D. He instead does a rotoscope style that he kind of popularized. But Joel Haver has another very conversational style of humor that's a lot very subdued, not a lot of like quick gags or loud gags, much more people going it very like kind of awkward, but not in a cringe way, in the way that like Nathan For You is, but more in a sweet, endearing way.
I would these are definitely not the same. I would liken the like awkward style to like Bob's Burgers.
Yeah.
Where like it's more conversational than it is like the awkwardness is the joke.
Yeah. You know? Exactly. That's actually a good comparison. Yeah. Internet animators are cool. Especially the ones that make cool stuff.
Yeah, very much so. I am slightly obligated to shout out Yotam Perel. He's absolutely nothing like any of the ones we've mentioned, but he's a longtime animator that I've been a fan of, so I'm kind of obligated to just shout him out. Good on you, Yotam. Good job. I hope you get big. Hope you make it big and good.
And I hope we make it big, because this has been NetSurfer Pro. You can find us on Twitter at NetSurfer Pro. You can tweet at us what you thought of our episodes. You can tweet at us any suggestions for topics we should cover, any memes we should state the our state of, you know, anything that's sort of interesting. You can also get teasers onto our upcoming episodes, including, as the time this comes up, some Spooky Month teasers. We're going to have teasers for all the episodes we do for Spooky Month, or at least I'll try to. I'm not really sure how I'm going to tease about any of these. But we have some spooky month type stuff coming up, some October-y appropriate topics that I'm really excited about.
Yeah, very spooky month type beats.
I recommend checking out our older spooky month episodes to sort of get caught up on some topics that we will be bringing up in our next episode.
Yes.
Or at least I will. And you can do that through any podcasting platform you like, where you can follow us and give us a rating and a review. Feed us to that sweet, sweet algorithm. You can also follow...
Oh. Not us, maybe. Feed our content.
Yeah. You can also follow me on Twitter at Twakaroo. That's Twakaroo. Where I tweet my takes. A lot of replies to people I follow. I haven't had much funny to say recently. But also news on all my projects and when I go live on my stream at twitch.tv/twack, where I play competitive games, roguelites, gonna probably play the new Teamfight Tactics set a lot. And then also pretty soon I'm gonna start a playthrough of Pikmin on stream, so that'll be pretty exciting.
Nice.
Follow me there to check out me when I play game. Me when I play game.
And as for myself, my dog in the background is probably trying to tell you, you can find me on TikTok and on Twitter at Galen Wilson. That's at GalenWilson0n. I post my hot takes and some videos of fun things sometimes. You can find me on YouTube at The Only Galen on YouTube, where one of these days I'll upload a video. And you can find me on Twitch at twitch.tv/machinegunvampire, where I have a couple projects in the works of things that I might be playing soon. So if you're interested in any of that, please follow me on those. But as of right now, this has been NetSurfer Pro.
And next episode, we interview a very specific someone's dog.
Yes.
All right, goodbye.
Bye.